Who has questions for Professor Hauser?
In the back there.
In the back.
Hi, it's Eric. So I had a few questions. First, do you think you're catching every single cosmic neutrino with your trigger method? Is there any loss? Because the background seems serious from like atmospheric neutrinos and muons. Do you think this like 200 is almost like 100% of the cosmic neutrinos?
The 200 is corresponds to this flux we measure. We know this flux, and it's 200 with an error bar of some 20. So that's the measurement of the flux. How many of these 200 we can extract out of the beam, we can extract and actually patent as cosmic neutrinos depends on the energy. And at high energy, I didn't mention this, but the Glashow events you saw, which I mentioned is the size of Erice, that's a 5.2 sigma discovery of cosmic neutrinos with one event. So everything else is in between. So when you do an analysis, you use all your neutrinos with a probability that they are cosmic. But I only can show you after 10 years a handful of events and say, this cannot be produced in the atmosphere. But that typically when we do cosmic analysis, we'll work with instead of with 200 events, with 20 or 30 events. And this is, machine learning has, I'm giving you the numbers before we did this recalibration of the detector.
Yeah, and real quickly also, I'm interested in this machine learning stuff, and I have a talk on anomaly detection that I think could be relevant. But also I was wondering about your latency to get to astronomers. So you said there's like a 1 second latency. I was wondering what hardware you're running the kind of like the trigger system and the algorithms on. And also, like, how long it takes to do reconstruction? Are you doing it in this 1 second and then sending it off?
Yeah, so I didn't obviously go into the instrumentation, but what happens is whenever this, of course, these photomultipliers are connected to a cable, you have to supply the voltage, right? And then what we do is whenever there is no ice cube, there are only 5,000 plus separate optical sensors. And whenever they detect a signal, there is electronics that captures the light signal and digitizes it. And this digital signal is sent over the same cable back to a cluster of computers, which stands on top of the ice. You know, it's this two-story building that they always show in pictures when you see Ice Cube. So then these computers collect all these signals independently and build them into the pictures you see, right? Into tracks or into balls of Cherenkov light. All this happens in seconds. And so reconstructing the signal and determine direction and sending it over iridium takes less than 1 minute, typically 30 seconds. So less than 1 minute after there was light in the detector, someone may already, in fact, this master optical telescope was looking at a source, it was on my slides, but some 43 seconds after there was light in the ice at the pole. To a theorist, it's incredible.
Sounds good, thanks.
But normally, that information then is reanalyzed in Madison in the operations center, which is at the University of Wisconsin. But, we were desperate to find sources, so we just threw our data overboard. This to quite a bit of discussion in the collaboration, you can imagine.
Luigi, so you mentioned this. I wonder how you managed to characterize your detector medium, so the ice. I can imagine maybe you have the opportunity to characterize its optical properties while drilling the holes, maybe, and then connected to this, my next question would be if there are any relevant systematics connected to this and how much does this impact your results?
Yeah, that's, you know, if I had three lectures, I could answer your question. We spent, you know, we started working on this in the late 80s and we discovered cosmic neutrinos in 2013. I mean, were we incompetent? In fact, most of that time we spent characterizing the ice because that's our Cherenkov medium. And you cannot take a block of ice and put it in the CERN or Fermilab calibration beam. So all our information on the ice is critical because it's your Cherenkov medium, but it's also all indirect. So I'll just give you a flavor. So what we did is we, in each of these modules, there are 12 LEDs of three different colors. And so you shoot these LEDs light and detect it with neighboring photomultipliers. And so by shooting LEDs light in all these different directions, you can crisscross the detector and most importantly first, reconstruct the geometry precisely to know exactly where these photomultipliers are. But also it tells you the properties, the optics of the ice. And we built a small experiment, which was about less than 10% of ice cube, with which we mostly determined the optical properties of the ice. So then, to make a long story short, you know, we discovered that the precision we are modeling this ice now is that we can actually see the scattering of the light at crystal boundaries in the ice. And anything in between, we have mapped the optical properties. It's a really long, tedious effort. And you run into surprises like the ice, the detector is in a glacier that moves 10 meters per year. And the photons actually propagate differently along the glacier and perpendicular to the glacier. This is an 8% effect. If you don't include it, you know, you lose precision. So I spend a lot of my life writing glaciology papers, which I wish I never had to do. And this is ongoing. So the last frontier is to map the ice. You know, we melt this equipment into the ice, so we make holes by melting the ice into water, deploy. When it refreezes, this ice is different. So now we are mapping the properties of the ice in the hole. And so this is an unending story. But you saw that we understand the detector. I mean, you saw the simulations for the point spread function or for anything else. You saw we reconstructed the glacial resonance right on top of where the ATHF mass requires it to be. So, but yeah, there is systematics associated with it, which is always taken into account, of course.
Yes, yes, so Owen is Bastia Sharma from NICEF Amsterdam. Aren't you worried that the experiment will be in danger due to the melting of the ice caps because of global warming?
No. We are in the center of Antarctica, and I don't think, in fact, in Wisconsin there is an expert actually who measures by radio the thickness of the ice and monitors it, and I actually think at the South Pole, we all know what's happening at the coast, But that's 3 hours airplane flight away. I think actually the ice is growing at the center at the moment by very little. So I lay awake at night about lots of things, but not that one.
Okay, thank you.
May I see the distribution of extragalactic neutrinos? Yeah. I had a question because...
You mean...
I mean this... there is one with...
Somewhere. Ah, no, you want a probability distribution.
I think it was the distribution. I mean, there were...
This one?
Yeah, but without the... There is a picture without the reference to the...
Yeah, okay.
To the spot. It is there somewhere.
This.
What are these numbers associated with the points?
This is the event number. The event number, event number 24.
Yeah.
It are different analyses. And as I said, a typical analysis will work with some 50 cosmic neutrinos,
or uh-huh.
Most likely cosmic neutrinos. Most likely, the worst we do is that the probability is higher than a half that it's a cosmic neutrino. And so these are just event numbers in the different analyses.
Because I see there is a point just in the middle.
Yeah. Actually, this is the first event we measured the direction of. It was one of my students who discovered the cosmic neutrino flux using this event starting in the detector. And at the time, this was in 2012, at the time we got these events, we would start reconstructing them, and it took about a day of computing time to reconstruct the direction. And so the first direction we saw was event 14. Right from the center of the galaxy.
This is the center, yes.
And we were expected to see a galactic flux, right? You saw the pictures in gamma rays and X-rays and visible. You see the galactic plane. They are nearby sources. And so we were sure we were going to see the galaxy. And it took us a long time to realize we didn't, yeah. In fact, with our better reconstructions now, this is one of the original reconstructions. With the better reconstruction, it's not quite at the center of the galaxy anymore, yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't come from there now.
Laurent Lelouch from Marseille. What is the next big step in neutrino astronomy?
Well, it's...
Is it bigger, and is it in the ice, or is it in the Mediterranean?
Both, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you have to realize this is not like looking for the Higgs. This is astronomy, and the sky is big, and there's work for everyone. So actually, the way to do it is to have at least two detectors, but preferably more, and preferably have them different so that they can check each other. It's very frustrating. You have to be super concerned. I mean, we have been doing 10 years of science without having anyone to check anything we do. It's only a few months ago that Baikal claimed they see our signal, cosmic neutrinos, at 3 sigma. So it means you have to be super conservative with anything you publish, because if you publish something that you have to take back, nobody will believe you. And so, the answer is clear. Also, you need better angular resolution. If we get to 0.1 degree, we can see sources without doing multi-messenger astronomy, which we already started doing. We have at least seen one source. this NGC 1068 Seyfert galaxy without multi-messenger help. But you need to get to 0.1 degree, and you know everybody's thinking about a 10 times bigger detector. We are upgrading IceCube in the next 3 years, and we hope to just continue building a detector that has 10 times the volume of this one.
Can I?
Yes. No, just a curiosity. I mean, assuming that Antonio Masiero from Padova, assuming that there is some WIMP annihilation in our galaxy, so suppose, for instance, 100 GV WIMP which annihilate. So we expect an intense gamma ray flux. Do you have some hopes to observe such an annihilation through neutrino flux?
Yeah, I'm trying to look for the slides. I have a few slides in the backup. You can look at them. Of course, this is one of the reasons in the 80s. In fact, I told you about a smaller R&D experiment we built, which was called Amanda. It could actually, if the WIMP miracle had happened, it could see WIMPs in 1 year. There's no doubt about it. You know, what Professor Masiero is talking about is the sun has existed for billions of years, right? So WIMPs in our galaxy, if they have any interaction with normal matter, they would have been captured by the sun and they would eventually accumulate in the center. And so you build up a WIMP population in the center of the sun, and at some point they start annihilating. And they annihilate in neutrinos, which can come straight out of the sun. You cannot do this in any other way than with neutrinos. And it's totally calculable. You give me a mass and a cross-section, and I can tell you how many neutrinos we see. And it's as far as I know, the only observation that would be a smoking gun. That couldn't be questioned. And we have been doing this since then. And we, you know, it's depressing. We have these limits on the cross-section. We mostly show spin-dependent interactions because that's where we dominate everyone else. Yeah. And you will see, in fact, the thesis of one of my students who's about to graduate is analyzing 10 years of data. And so we still have the best limits, but no observation.
How about annihilation in the galactic halo? So in the galactic halo.
Oh, the galactic halo, yeah.
Instead of the sun, for instance.
You know, all these questions you ask are part of, you know, we've published papers on. Yeah, so one of the things we do is these cosmic neutrinos, before we detect it, travel through the halo of the galaxy. And so we put world best limits on the interaction of neutrinos with matter, with dark matter, that way. And in fact, eventually, we should actually see the absorption on the galactic center, right?
Yes.
You should see a distribution. And these are all ongoing analyses.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have nice discussions. I thank the speaker again. We have to continue for the next.
Thank you.
So now comes Professor Lanen.